Our scripture lesson this morning is a familiar one to many. It is one of Jesus' most famous parables from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. This is the message rendering of it. Then Jesus said, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he'd gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'All the farmhands working for my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found.' They began to have a wonderful time. All this time his older son was out in the field, and when the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. Calling over one of the houseboys, he asked what was going on. He told him, 'Your brother's come home. Your father's ordered a feast, barbecued beef, because he has him home safe and sound.' The older son, the older brother, stalked off in an angry sulk, refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, 'Look, how many years I've stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief. But have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this son of yours, who has thrown away your money on prostitutes, shows up and you go all out with a feast.' His father says, 'Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours, but this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he's found.'" For several weeks now, we've been working through a series about living justly in an unjust world and trying to identify various kinds of injustices we see around us. And as we name them, to understand what our responsibility is as the Church of Jesus Christ, followers of Christ, is when we see it, what do we do in response? Do we act? Do we follow Christ's lead with that? And if we do, how do we do that? Well, today I want to dig into one of Jesus' most famous parables. I want to focus more fully on the kingdom of God kind of justice that we see Jesus living and teaching. We began to touch on that last week. I want to dig deeper today. This story is compelling. I mean, it's just good storytelling. It has all the elements that Hollywood would like to see. I mean, there is drama as this younger son splinters his family by his own selfish demands and compulsive and destructive actions. There's angst as the younger son finds he's finally failed. He has nothing to do but turn toward home and take his chances with his tail tucked between his legs. Angst for the father who's been watching faithfully, longingly, day after day, night after night, watching the horizon to see when that son would begin to turn back toward them. There's joy of celebration with resolution as the family is reunited. They have the friends together and they have a party. Father jumps off the porch and runs to his son and embraces him. Boy, he's still a long way off. Have it ended there, that'd be a wonderful story with everything wrapped up in a nice, neat bow, but it doesn't. The older brother comes in from a long day in the fields, and he hears the noise of the celebration, the music, and the laughter, and he calls over one of the house servants, and he asks what's going on, and he tells him. And the older brother begins his sulk. He's livid. He's resentful and angry, seething at the injustice of his father's scandalous actions. And then Jesus leaves us all hanging. He ends the story without an ending. I mean, too many unanswered questions, too many loose ends not tied up. What does the older son do? We shared this scripture in our Bible study this Wednesday night, and I asked them just to spend some time looking at it together and talking about whatever they wanted to talk about and share some of their insights. And the first thing I asked them, we got the whole group back together, I said, what impacted you most? We need to know what the older son did. You might wonder why I would choose this story to be included in this series about justice. I mean, it's a great story, yes. It's a wonderful story about love and grace and forgiveness, even healing and hope. But is it a story about justice? Well, at first glance, it may not seem so, but let's just sort of look a little deeper. People, everyone from the older brother up to you and me, we seem to have an innate understanding of justice and what justice should be, what right and wrong. We can't always articulate it very clearly, but we sure know when we feel somebody has made us victims in our lives. They've done something wrong to us. Sometimes it's a loss we experience. Sometimes it's somebody who gets away with something, even petty little things. Children learn very early to cry plaintively, no fair. Mom, Amy took my toy. Bobby hit me. With that anticipation in the whine in their voices that mom is now going to right the wrongs. And it's up to mom to step up. I got to thinking about that, and I realized as adults, we haven't changed our tune too much. We hear it in conversation. You blew the snow off of your driveway onto mine. The limb of your tree is hanging over and dropping all that junk in my yard. It's not fair. Neighbors disputing with neighbors. There are lawsuits filed by the thousands in our courts every day. All of us from toddlers to seniors have memorized the same thing. It's not fair. And we hear the same cry from the older brother in this story to his father. It's not fair. And you know what? He's right. It's not fair. At least it's not fair as we measure fair. If equal is a standard to being just, then it's not justice, it's not fair. Last week I challenged us to see that God's kind of justice goes beyond what's fair, and that is a very good thing for us. Because if God were to treat us fairly, as we lived our lives, we would be doomed to live an eternity of suffering without God, apart from Him. In the old days, they'd say we'd go to hell. But we can't say that anymore. But it is what it is. If God were fair, our consequence would be life, broken, suffering, apart from him, darkness, wailing, gnashing of teeth, you add all the different color you want. But God's justice goes beyond what's fair. I want to suggest to you God has two core purposes or values in his God kind of justice. The first is to identify, to name the injustice that is found around us in the world. And God wants to show that which is wrong and victimizing other people in every setting, from groups and classes to the individual, to name the wrong, the perpetrator, and right the wrong, and to restore the victim. In a way, that sounds a lot like our justice system when it works right. And that's something that's important. We've got to name the evils in the world, the injustices, and learn how the people, as people of Christ, to stand and speak and identify and be sure we don't just let it go without seeking to right the wrong. But if God's justice goes beyond that, the second is that God's justice seeks to bring reconciliation for all of us to him. Whether it's the perpetrator or the victim in the injustice, to find a way to bring them both, us both, home. God's desire is to draw us back into relationship with him. That's what the Father in this story desired for his sons as well. Now, human justice says, apologize. Give the toy back. In fact, give her or him one of your toys too as penalty. Get in time out. Or if your one is so persuaded, a SWAT or three. You just sit there and think of what you've done, mister. Grovel in your guilt. And when you're finally properly ashamed, come back and beg forgiveness, and we might let you play with us. Now, if a father had that kind of attitude, that father would never have jumped off of the porch and run to his son who was still a long way off, would never have flung his arms around him, and would never have stifled the son's confession and apology. Father, I've sinned against God and before you. He wouldn't have said, that's enough, I don't need to hear it. He started shouting to his servants instead. That kind of father would have made the boy come find him on the farm somewhere and would have made the boy break the awkward silence and risk the father's rejection. And then, only then, would the father decide whether or not he would allow the boy back. But the father we see in Jesus' story leaps off the porch, doesn't wait for him to get there, almost tackles him in his embrace, and he says, you're home. You come back. I've longed to see you over the horizon. That's all that matters is your home. Well, that's all well and good, I suppose. I mean, it warms our hearts, it feels good, it moves us, but is it just? Enter the older brother onto the scene. He finds out what's going on, can't believe his ears. His brother's come home, oh man, did he come home groveling? No, he's the man of the hour. His father did what? His father hears his older son won't come in, so he leaves the party and goes out to find him in the loneliness of the dark chill, the barn lot, as he seeks him there. Tries to get him to come in, but the older brother will have none of that, and he says, again, it's not fair. I never dishonored you. He took his share, leaving while you were still alive, and that was like slapping you in the face. He turned his back on our generations of farming family, on his roots, and he wasted what you'd worked so hard to gather for him. And now you've killed the 4-H calf for a party. I never got a goat. It's just not fair. And his father, we don't have it in this word for word, but his father must have said, no, it's not fair, but it's just. I had to celebrate. Your brother's come home. He was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he's alive. I had to celebrate. Our family was broken and now we can be whole again. Can you relate to this story? And if so, where do you see yourself? Which of these three reminds you of you? The truth is that for many of us, we might see a glimpse of each of them in our lives at different times in our relationships, for relationships are fluid, and that's how that happens as we move from situation to situation. But Jesus' audience that day, they were faithful Jews, and this crowd was filled with older brothers. And in some sense, this story is not about one prodigal son, but two. Not about the suffering of a pain of one loss, but the pain of losing two sons. The word prodigal, in short, means to act beyond what is reasonable. The younger son was prodigal, certainly, because he chose to turn his back on all that he had and to waste his inheritance on useless, self-destructive relationships. The older brother was prodigal, too, in that he never recognized or valued what he had every day of his life to enjoy and use. As the father has said, you've always been with me, and what's mine is yours. It's always been available for you. He failed to see it. Even the father was prodigal, for that matter. For he loved both of his sons so much, beyond what was reasonable, and he went out and he sought out and chased down his younger son who was coming home. There are some things that are unique to this story if you understand the background. If the father leapt down and ran to the son, that was a no-no in Jewish culture. Men did not run. It was improper. It had to do with modesty and robes and that kind of thing. He put that all behind him and he ran to his son. When he came to find his other son, he sought him out in the darkness too. By coming to his son in the dark, he was saying, this party isn't just for your brother. This party is for us. We were broken and now we can be whole again. We find ourselves feeling like we're not being treated fairly at times. And I wonder where that offendedness comes from. Is it because we are so tuned into and so passionate about God's justice? Or maybe some kind of cosmic rightness? Are we the galactic justice brigade that we see just anywhere we have to act? What's the root? How do we deal with it? Is it because we have a sense of my and me and mine, no fair? What are the reason? Relationships are broken and years are lost. Years ago, I came across, it really finally broke its way into my shell of thinking, a question that helped change me in many ways. I was one who would be offended when things were wrong. Now, I didn't get caught up too much because I knew I was always right, and so I let the wrong things bounce off me a lot. But when things got in, I was always the one who wanted to right the wrong. And I finally heard the question, Kevin, do you want to be right? Or do you want to be happy? Do you want to be right or do you want to be whole? That was the first glimpsing of my understanding of God's kingdom kind of justice here. I have dealt with, ministered to, walked alongside so many people in my life who have been wounded by someone who was so important to them, they could never deal with the issue, whether it be a parent or a spouse or a child or a sibling. That person did something to hurt me. That person wronged me, and I can't get over it. And there's been this separation, this loss of relationship. And I've watched those people come to funerals and stand at the casket of the one from whom they have been separated. And I've heard their whispers. Some looking down at the casket saying, "You were wrong." And just feeling the tension of the bitterness still there. Others coming and saying, "I'm sorry. I waited so long." Now, friends, there are all kinds of injustice out there. And as we shared in this series, Jared and Jill have been focusing upon the specific injustices we identify in the world around us. And yes, we must. We must name those injustices to stand, to speak against them, to speak for those who have no voice, and to correct what was wrong and to heal who's broken, victim being damaged by perpetrator. That's God's first core value, remember, in his justice. I've been spending my time in this series talking about the relationship piece. Because we need both. And I come to you this morning, finally, as we get to the end of this time. To help us be aware that there, for many of us, there are these pains of woundedness. These things that separate us, break relationships because something hasn't been fair and it hurts. We want the wrongs righted. But God's justice goes beyond the limitations of our justice. It's not just the capacity of righting a wrong, paying back a debt. God's justice is always wrapped in grace. The father said to his older son, "No, it's not fair, but it's just." Do we want to be right? Do we want to be whole? We have to choose. We celebrate Holy Communion this morning, and as we do, I want to invite you to come to the table and come with anything, everything in your heart. If it's a day of celebration for you, then come and celebrate. If it's a day of questions, then bring those questions. If it's a day of woundedness and pain because it's not fair, because somebody you've loved has hurt you, and come and cry out to God and say to God, "God, it's not fair." And hear him say, "I know it's not. But I give you my justice wrapped in grace." Do you want to be right? or do you want to be whole? Let go of that one and put her or him into my arms.